Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you on this Friday, August 6th, as we welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have with us Melissa Whetstone, and after Melissa reads, she and I will sit down and have a time to talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Melissa, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Mary. Today we'll start with reading Romans 8, 18 to the end. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, we pick up with verse 41 in Psalm 78, and we read to the end. They tested God again and again and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the field of Zoan. He turned their rivers to blood so that they could not drink of their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies which devoured them and frogs which destroyed them. He gave their crops to the destroying locusts and the fruit of their labor to the locusts. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamores with frost. He gave over their cattle to the hail and their flocks to thunderbolts. He let loose on them his burning anger, wrath, indignation, and distress, a company of destroying angels. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave their life over to the plague. He struck down every firstborn in Egypt, the firstfruits of their strength in the tents of Ham. Then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety so that they were not afraid. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won. He drove out nations before them. He apportioned them for possession and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. Yet they tested and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies. but turned away and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. They moved him to jealousy with their idols. When God heard, he was full of wrath, and he utterly rejected Israel. He forsook his dwelling at Shiloh, the tent where he dwelt among mankind, and delivered his power to captivity, his glory to the hand of the foe. He gave his people over to the sword and vented his wrath on his heritage. Fire devoured their young men, and their young women had no marriage song. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a strong man shouting because of wine, and he put his adversaries to rout. He put them to everlasting shame. He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. He built his sanctuary like the high heavens, like the earth, which he has founded forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from his sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. And now we turn to Ezekiel and read chapter 18, verses 1 through 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. If a man is righteous and does what is just and right, if he does not eat upon the mountains or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, does not defile his neighbor's wife or approach a woman in her time of menstrual impurity, does not oppress anyone, but restores to the debtor his pledge, commits no robbery, gives his bread to the hungry, and covers the naked with a garment, does not lend at interest or take any profit, withholds his hand from injustice, executes true justice between man and man, walks in my statutes, and keeps my rules by acting faithfully, he is righteous. He shall surely live, declares the Lord God. If he fathers a son who is violent, a shedder of blood, who does any of these things, though he himself did none of these things, who even eats upon the mountains, defiles his neighbor's wife, oppresses the poor and needy, commits robbery, does not restore the pledge, lifts up his eyes to the idols, commits abomination, lends at interest, and takes profit, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon himself. Now suppose this man fathers a son who sees all the sins that his father has done. He sees and does not do likewise. He does not eat upon the mountains or lift up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, does not defile his neighbor's wife, does not oppress anyone, exacts no pledge, commits no robbery, but gives his bread to the hungry, and covers the naked with a garment, withholds his hands from iniquity, takes no interest or profit, obeys my rules, and walks in my statutes. He shall not die for his father's iniquity. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what is not good among his people, behold, he shall die for his iniquity.
Thank you so much, Melissa, for joining the podcast today. I want to hear a little bit more about you and your family.
Thanks, Mary. It's my pleasure to be here with you today. I'm Melissa, and I'm married to Greg. We've been married for 27 years. We have three boys, Morgan, Wesley, and Bates. Morgan is 24, Wesley is 21, and Bates is 16. We've been members of Mountain Brook Baptist Church for about 14 or 15 years. I know, I just remember Bates was a baby when we came to Mountain Brook. We had moved here from Atlanta. And so I'm from Birmingham originally, but we were very happy to be back in Birmingham and have just found our home at Mountain Brook Baptist Church.
I want to talk a little bit about Morgan and what he is doing right now as a young professional.
So Morgan is our oldest son, and he graduated in 2019 from the United States Naval Academy, and he is a Navy pilot now, or he's training to be a Navy pilot. So actually, Mary, today he is taking his first flight in a jet, which is a little bit scary. So we'll pray for him today at 12:30 when he does that. But yeah, he's training to be a jet pilot.
And since I asked about Morgan, I need to ask about your other two. What about Wesley? What is his major in college?
So Wesley is a sports marketing and analytics major at Mercer University. He'll be a senior this year. And actually this summer he's doing an internship with the Barons here in Birmingham, and he's having a great time and learning a lot.
And finally, tell me a little bit about Bates. Tell me about his personality and what he hopes to do.
So Bates is going to be a junior in high school, which is really hard to believe. But any of y'all who know Bates and know my other two boys know that they are very different. So Morgan and Wesley are very reserved and quiet. And then there's Bates. Everybody seems to know Bates. He's kind of like the life of the party. But he's a great kid and lots of fun, and keeps us on our toes and definitely keeps us laughing.
Now, I want to make the connect with your parents as well, because they are also members of our church. Tell us who they are and kind of how you all got connected with Mountain Brook.
My mom and dad are Ann and Grady Gibbons. So actually, my mom and dad had maybe been visiting for a little bit, and they invited us to come to a Christmas program that was at the church. And we had actually been looking around for a church for quite some time. But nothing ever really felt right to us. But we came to the Christmas program that was in December, and immediately we knew, after all those months of looking for a home church, that this was the place for us. So we joined in January right after that. And my dad had said, well, if y'all are going to join, we're going to join too. So we all joined on the same day. That was really special.
I want to hear some about your faith journey, or how you came to faith, or a time when you saw the Lord working in your life.
So I grew up in the church. I went to Southside Baptist Church, which is in Southside area of Birmingham, and grew up there. I was very involved in church always. I can never remember a time when I wasn't. Basically, I lived to go to church. So, of course, I grew up in Sunday school with great Sunday school teachers. I was a GA and acting, and those were very important parts of my spiritual growth and my spiritual foundation as well. I know I came to faith at about 7 years old and was baptized. I can remember that still so well, on Easter Sunday. So, of course, as I got older, my faith grew and continued to grow and was different from the faith that I had when I was a seven-year-old. So, but even as an adult, we've continued to be actively involved in church. And, you know, I teach Sunday school now to children, and I teach GAs on Wednesday nights. So it's kind of come full circle.
Now, you mentioned children and teaching Sunday school, but I know that you also have a passion for teaching kids. Melissa is a teacher in a school in Pleasant Grove. So I want you to tell us a little bit about what you do, where you teach, and then why you do what you do.
So, yes, I am a teacher. I'm starting my 20th year of teaching. Can you believe that? A lot of that has been teaching in private church schools, because I taught at our church 5K program for quite some time. But I teach at Pleasant Grove Elementary in Pleasant Grove, Alabama. I taught first grade last year, but this year I'm going to teach kindergarten, which is my super sweet spot. I love kindergarten. So before I went back into teaching, I worked at WMU for a while, and I worked as a children's curriculum editor there, which was exciting because I got to write materials for GAs, which I love, of course. But one summer, I got to go, a highlight of working at WMU was getting to go to Korea and Taiwan to work with people there, creating some curriculum there. And as part of that journey, we got to do some sample lessons, and I just realized how much, especially when we got to work with some children in Taiwan as well, but I realized how much I really missed working with kids. So I worked there for another year, but I always say, and it's actually one of my favorite Bible verses. Can I share that with you, Mary? It's Proverbs 16:9, which the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And God knew what he wanted me to do. And, you know, maybe I had one way of how it was going to go, but God knew that he was preparing me to go back to the classroom. And a great opportunity opened up, and I got to go back into the classroom. And when I worked at WMU, you worked with so many different missionaries, and they would say, and we talk about people groups all the time. Like, my people group is East Asia, or my people group is North Africa. Well, I always knew my people group was children. So I got to go back to my people group, and that's been really sweet and special.
Which is really neat for me to hear, because we are actually right now at family camp. We are pre-recording this, of course. And I have seen Melissa in action with all of the children, and it's just a joy to see the Lord's giftedness in her and to be reminded that though he shapes us all differently, he uses us all for his kingdom. Thank you again, Melissa, for joining the podcast. It would be a great pleasure for us if you would end our time together with prayer.
Thank you, Mary. I've enjoyed being with you today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for this day that you have given to us. We rejoice in just waking up today and being able to praise your name. And thank you for all that you have done for us and continue to do in the ways that you lead us. We thank you for these words that you have given to us through your scriptures. May we use them to guide our lives, to know more about you and what you have planned for us. And we just pray for your wisdom in all that we do and think and say. We pray that you will lead our steps. And as I said earlier, just lean on you, Lord. And we have our plans, but you know what you have planned for us. And help us to always remember that. We pray that you will be with each person who's listening today, that you will bless their lives in ways that they don't even know yet, that they will seek your wisdom, that they will seek your love and their mercy in all that they are doing today throughout the day. We pray for those that are in need, dear Lord. We pray that we will be the hand of Jesus to all those that we meet, that we come across today, and that we will see their needs and how we can minister to them in the ways that you would, dear Lord. We thank you for Mountain Brook Baptist Church. We thank you for our leadership that you have there. We thank you for people like Mary who have this program where we can read your word together. We thank you for all our many blessings, and we pray that you will continue to guide us as we go throughout this day. All these things we ask in your holy name. Amen.